everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 233. That is 233 episodes of us bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about.
We'll give you one guess what everyone was pinging each other about this week. And then we'll make you wait until we actually talk about it later in the show.
I'm waiting for their guess.
I know.
Before we go into this week, we will talk about last week. Yeah. We'll do a little time travel here.
I think a lot of them shared our same concerns and passions around connectors.
Yeah, I was happy that I'm not alone in my
neuroses.
Yes, it's something that you take for granted. I think it's and I'm not going to go into in depth about cables again this week. It's something you take for granted, but you use all the time.
Oh,
so
totally.
It's important.
Yeah, yeah. As that whole transition period between the two standards that
right.
ends up being complicated.
DTower actually says that kind of the cloud, and I'm paraphrasing. He did not say the cloud has solved his issues, but it has made us much less reliant on USB keys, USB hard drives.
I will concur. I actually really only have one or two USB sticks that are used solely for the purpose of when I'm not connected to the internet, or for Windows to Go, because I boot off of the Windows to Go stick.
Do you? Yeah. I haven't used that yet.
What?
I haven't had a use for it yet.
You are such a
I'm not an IT.
Not an IT guy. Right?
Enterprise guy. I use it for if I have like a large music collection that I want to have on a bunch of different devices.
Do you still use music collections? I thought you just use cloud services.
So I like to use music in a lot of different devices and uses. So on DJ equipment or other stuff where you need to have the MP3, you can't have the DRM protected stream. So for other uses, you need to actually buy the licensed music. So I'm one of the few maybe that is still buying individual songs, but that's one reason. The other thing is for installing Windows.
Yes.
I put off a USB keys.
Yeah, no, true.
Keep a little suite of some utilities on there. But other than that, yeah, everything else is in my OneDrive.
TGRT is talking about the inevitable issue of having the drivers baked into the OS and having support baked in and mature drivers. And that goes with all new standards as they come out. As you mentioned, your first motherboard purchase with USB 3 attached to it and
yeah.
stuff.
It was the MSI board that was kind of like, it should work, and it did.
Yeah.
So there's always the transition period, and early adopters will feel the pain, but also get all the benefits.
And I like how DevelopKC is already talking about the converters and the whole black market or gray market of people making converters between the old and the new to make them work.
I
used to have this
that.
One little short pigtail that had a lanyard that you would attach to the old cord.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if you needed the old one, you could just stick it in and it'd work. Or if you need the new one, you have to attach it on.
So our conference rooms actually have keychains essentially connected to our adapters. So if there's a screen in a room or a projector, it has like mini display port, micro display port, mini HDMI.
Yeah, it's
like
got a whole
every
list of
single
them
converter.
And I can never get anything to work.
I'm fine with mine. My Carbon Touch.
This one's
Pro
fine.
X1
my other laptop I don't use on the show anymore was the Asus. And for some reason, the Asus, those connectors were prone to failure, I guess. I don't know.
I have had luck, different luck in different rooms here.
Oh,
so it depends on the state of the room. But my mini display support, at least at home, I have one already set up to my TV so I can plug in my laptop whenever I want. And works beautifully.
You don't just use
the wireless one?
Yeah.
I have to buy one. I've been lazy. I should go. I need to get one of those.
I still have the Action Tech, the hockey puck, the square hockey puck.
Yeah.
That one there works just fine.
And that's basically just Miracast.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So wireless HDMI practically.
You got it, man. John Vizio very quickly was just talking about how if you can, and his rule of thumb is if you can see the crack at the back of the connector, looking at the connector, you know it's upside down. Flip it around.
On the connector, but I swear every device has it in a different orientation.
Oh, I don't.
Or if it's a phone, sometimes it's this way or that way.
It's the rule of threes. You always try three times to get it the right direction.
It's kind of like rebooting. You always reboot three times?
No, I installed some software I needed to reboot for, and I was like, when was the last time I had to do this?
Ooh, four.
Pain. Pain.
JT Zabecki.
He wrote a book, my friend. I'm trying to even see what this guy's even saying.
We read these beforehand.
I know, it's very, very much. It's
well, this one actually just came in recently. So.
Yeah. The plethora of different types of connectors and having to worry about them.
Right, and the different phones still use different connectors. I think in Europe, they're actually mandated to use micro USB. I'm not quite sure how that'll work with new connectors.
What I don't like
out.
Is the non-standard ones that are like the AB version of the mini connector, or what I think is the mini connector, where it looks like it can fit in both directions, but it really only fits in one of them, and you can jam it in and break the
my always interesting one is on the Lenovo's here, the power connector kind of looks like a USB port. Not enough that you confuse them. Like, my power is yellow, so I always know which one it is, but sometimes if it's late at night and I'm tired and I'll start trying to plug a USB port in there, and I'm actually pretty amazed I haven't damaged it. So that's nice.
I think we've kind of exhausted the topic of connectors and cables. Actually get on with the show. So are you a OneDrive user or a Dropbox user?
I have accounts on both.
Yeah?
Why not have as much storage as you can get?
You never know. I use Dropbox actually for connecting to talk to some I call them external colleagues.
Sure.
Teachers at my kid's school, as an example. They'll use like a Dropbox that they can go off and share stuff with the parents.
Cool.
As an informal way of doing stuff. Kind of interesting. But I'm a huge OneDrive user. So this particular news wasn't that impactful to me, per se, but it's extremely impactful because it's been long overdue. Dropbox finally has an official app for Windows Phone.
Yes.
And as a quick segue back to, last week's episode, I think it was, Rudy was involved.
Rudy Wynn, we talked about at length.
With the UI.
Yeah. Very cool for him to be contributing once again. Kind of goes to the point of why he was featured in that article to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Dropbox already has tight ties with Office. You can edit documents directly in, much like OneDrive.
Yep.
But now you can go in and get those files off of your phone as well.
And so this one actually works on Windows tablet devices and also RT, as a matter of fact, as well as Windows Phone.
Very
so
cool.
Gross grass, all of them. Would that qualify as a universal device?
I believe that's what the universal apps in Windows 8.1, that was the whole thing. They work on RT, they work on phone.
Okay. So if you don't have it and you happen to partake of the Dropbox flavor, go out and get it.
I think everyone has found uses for their phone while they're waiting in line or those other like short periods of time where...
When you're stopped at a stop. No, don't use
not
them in
car,
your car.
If you're in the passenger
not
seat.
Not in the car.
Any times where you're not in a social setting too, I should probably caveat. Like not at dinner when you're with friends.
Or whereas, you know, sometimes if you need to pull yourself away from a social situation.
Sure.
Yeah.
There are apps that are used, there are games. If you want to try to stimulate your brain and use that time more productively, then I guess more entertaining, we've got what they're calling the Brain Box here on the Lumia Conversations. 5 Windows Phone developers trying to make you a little clever.
Yeah, and there are different games focusing on different areas. This one here that's called Polyhegrams. Would you say that? Polyhegrams?
Polyhegrams, sure.
Polyhegrams by Late Night Apps. Working specifically on word knowledge, dexterity, being able to rotate and move a 3D object, as well as 3D spatial relations as well, to be able to basically go off and create words and solve words and sort of stuff.
Another one is...
That would be really bad for me because of my dyslexia.
Oh, well, maybe it'd be good for you.
Well, you know, maybe we should give it a try.
Another one is Worldly by Supergonk.
Yeah.
And it is a geography game that travels around the globe and asks you questions about countries and capitals and cities and states. It's actually a UK-based indie developer, but you are going to be able to find geography skills all over the world, and I believe it has like timing to base on how quickly you can answer them. Sounds like a fantastic thing if you're going to be trying to get on Jeopardy.
Never know, man.
Those categories are usually in there.
IQ Friends is another one by the IQ Improvement Institute. Sounds very official. I wonder if they're like certified in IQ Institute stuff. Or something like that. It's a number of different exercises that work on various aspects of your brain while still being fun to play, quote unquote. I haven't tried this one, but it definitely looks like it has a variety. They're definitely very quick and very easy to do as opposed to being one track type of solution.
Another one is Trivia Crack by Intermax. This is one we both
crack.
Actually play, and we didn't know each other played, so we'll have to actually challenge each other now.
Rickster CDN. You want to play? I'll take you on.
Am I Farlox on there? Farlox is my gamer tag. I think that's what it's on.
They assign you a random ID, and you can go in and change it afterwards. So I made sure I changed mine to Rickster CDN.
I'll have to change mine then. I think mine was actually set to just Mark DeFalco or something like that.
How original.
Anyway, Trivia Crack is a player versus player trivia game.
Available on web through Facebook.com, I do believe.
I didn't know
it's also available across all the variety of platforms
yes.
that are there.
So I played against my friends on a number of devices. It is turn-based. You have multiple days to take your turn, so mm-hmm. it's nice to take at your own time. You answer questions in one of six categories. Once you've answered a number of them, you like get a
crown, opportunity
in that category.
The first I like the
player,
challenges.
First player to get to six crowns wins that game.
I particularly like the challenge mode where when you get your crown opportunity, you can choose to steal the other person's
each other,
one,
yeah.
and you have to do the best of six answers.
I'm not very good at those.
I love those ones, man. But my categories that I'm good at are science and history and geography.
Sports and science.
Oh, yeah. See, I suck at sports. I am totally bad at sports.
And now I know what the challenge is.
Oh, nice, nice. And then we have IQ Safe by Atar Games. That one there is actually kind of cool because it's specifically around the theme of being a safe cracker.
It's neat, yeah.
It's kind of neat. You get to do different safes in different cities, different complexity levels, and sometimes it's based on logic for how you have to go off and do number progressions or different things you're working with. Sometimes it's just pure darn luck, as they say as well, too.
They say they all range from very easy to yep. difficult, and I think that's true for most of these we talked about today. They try to ease you in, and as you progress, they'll become more difficult, which is part of the whole trying to train your brain.
Yeah.
So try them out. All five of them are available on the store.
You never know. A game is always good if it's going to make you more SMRT. In case you were under a rock for the last couple of days, you might have missed a particular live stream.
We told you about it. Yeah,
on
we told you to watch
episode.
This.
So you didn't do your homework.
And you weren't going to be disappointed if you actually watched.
It is available fully on demand. You can go off and go see it now.
News.microsoft.com/Windows 10 story.
Yep.
We'll put the link below in the comments.
Mm-hmm. But hey, we talked about Windows 10 and other things.
Lots of other things.
Yeah.
So Windows 10, we'll start there. Windows 10 is coming, and when it comes, it'll be at the very good price of free.
$0.
First year availability, if you're upgrading from Windows 7,
yep.
Windows 8.1, or Windows Phone
Correct.
8.1, you'll be able to upgrade to Windows 10 for free.
And this particular version that you're going to be upgrading with is one that's going to be maintained by Microsoft and basically kept up to date continuously with new features, additions, and fixes.
Right. They mention it, they make the analogy of just like any other internet service, you don't ask what version of... you know, whatever service you're on, what version of Facebook are you using.
I guess that would make it easier for developers to know that they're always targeting an
up-to-date
environment.
That's precisely one of the reasons. You get an up-to-date environment, you get access to everything, it's not intrusive for people to have to do hard upgrades, it's part of a more organic process.
And then part of the thing that's actually kind of neat about the Windows 10 environment that I like in particular is the fact that Cortana is going to be included,
so
according to what's on the webpage.
Yes, the biggest thing, I think, and they demoed it during the live stream, both on the desktop and on the phone, mm-hmm. is that the experience from Windows 10 is built to be the same across all of your devices. So it is just Windows 10, no matter if you're on a small device, a medium device, phone, phablet, tablet, mm-hmm. PC, desktop, Xbox, or, as we'll say later, larger devices or smaller devices.
Mm-hmm.
So Cortana is one of them and has become smarter. There are the new web browser, Project Spartan, is one of the things that Cortana is built into. So Project Spartan is a new evolution of our web browsing experience, some existing technologies, some brand new ones. And for example, they gave, if you're on the web page for a restaurant, you can ask Cortana for more information. It'll pull in reviews and menus and everything just straight through. So you can see context, data in the context of what you're trying to see.
They mentioned that it's going to be a version of Office Universal Apps for the most popular Office apps that you see there.
They demoed Word, I believe, on the phone, where full editing capabilities, an altered version of the ribbon that fits in your action bar. So you can do all, you can hit the review tab, make notes. Another feature. In Project Spartan was able to kind of freeze a page, mm-hmm. scribble on it in ink. You're basically in a OneNote doc, send it off to your teammates if you're trying to make comments on something, and that's really interesting as well.
I know that Julia White went and did a blog post specifically on more details on the Office side of things, in case you're interested for more info. Mm. We'll have that in the notes there as well.
In the gaming world, if you're a gamer, I thought the biggest thing was there's the Xbox app. Built into Windows 10, it is your connection to your Xbox world. You can text and it's voice
like a,
chat.
Is this like a smart glass thing?
Similar, I think. I don't know if they're going to merge two or together, but you can connect with text and voice to your friends. Mm-hmm. You can see activity feed. You can watch live clips or clips that were recorded, just like you can through the website and everything.
Yep.
Or through your console, and you can stream any game from your Xbox to a Windows 10 device.
Yeah, so that's kind of neat.
So when someone's using Xbox to watch TV over there, I can stream a game over to my Surface Pro 3 or my Lenovo tablet once I get over to, I am running part of the Windows 10 Insider on here.
Nice.
And that just frees up another device. If I want to be in a different room or a different context or on the couch, I can do that. But you can already pair mm-hmm. a controller up to your device.
True.
And use it like that.
Very true. And then we also introduced some
two new devices. One of them for the enterprise, another one different.
I like that one. The enterprise one's kind of cool. It's called the Surface Hub, which basically is the next generation version of the PPI technology that goes way beyond what the first one actually is able to do. Multiple cameras that are built into it for conferencing and capabilities, as well as tying into a full-fledged PC built into the device, as opposed to having to have one that you attach into it, which is kind of cool as well. Then this thing that's kind of mystified a lot of people and excited a lot of people because it was freaking holograms.
I don't think anyone expected this kind of thing.
The stuff that I've seen online about it has been around people basically saying all of a sudden they just started talking about holograms.
It's an interesting world. the device, HoloLens, is a head-mounted, self-contained computer, mm-hmm. runs Windows 10, and has a holographic display. Very simple.
You're saying that this is augmented reality. It's not virtual reality.
That's a very muddy kind of thing that I think we're going to have conversations about for a while.
Yeah.
The idea is that this device, there's no cords. You don't pair it to a phone. Yep. You don't plug it into a computer. It is a device. What it does is there's transparent lenses that you see through, mm-hmm. so you're not boxed in out of your environment. You can see your entire environment. It'll just kind of fit in any adult head. And we've got sound, so 3D spatial sound, so that if there's a hologram over there, I will hear sound emitting from over there.
Yep.
You pin objects in your world. You have to watch the demo.
Yeah.
You have to watch the demo. They demoed something called the ability to, what they showed on stage was ability to create 3D in 3D. So to just tap on an object that doesn't exist in the physical world, move it around, see it in your space. We had a conversation just earlier today about 3D printing, and in the demo you'll show they build something in 3D and then have it printed and
printed
show
it off someplace, yeah.
Where people said, like, well, it's hard sometimes. Yeah, you can measure things, but unless you see it in physical existence, mm-hmm. like you don't know how big or how small you're gonna make, how you do it. Well, in this experience, you physically see it in your world, so yep. you can place it on a desk, size it, 3D print, and get exactly what you're expecting. So there's obviously a lot more.
Yeah.
To come. So, this is just the first time we're announcing to the world.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's definitely the entire stream you can go off and watch for all the announcements that are in there, but then each of the different areas have their own little more depth videos and demos and that sort of stuff you can go through in case you are interested.
And again, I like to stress the most, well, there's so many cool things about it, but it's just running Windows. Windows 10, just like we said, Windows 10 will power every device and power it in the best way it can. It's just running Windows underneath. That's super cool to me, and has huge implications for development yeah. and support and everything.
It's quite cool. They were talking. They had the after the live stream. I was watching the online Twitter conversation about stuff, and then hearing the reactions of all the different press people on Twitter talking about their experiences of trying it out.
So journalists had a chance to right after the keynote, go and demo some of the dev kits.
I heard they had to lock up all their devices inside storage lockers with security.
A little behind the scenes, we let them sneak into the company store real quick to purchase a pad and pen if they did not bring one.
Oh, yeah.
Because certain journalists, they're tech journalists.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would they have pen and paper?
I just used my Surface with my pen.
So they had to go grab those on the way down.
Oh, nice.
No devices were allowed in the labs.
That's cool. Very, very cool. So freaking holograms.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour keynote if you have time to watch. You can go to about an hour and 40 minutes in. The last 20 minutes is the HoloLens stuff.
So HoloLens is the name that they're using right
Project
now?
HoloLens, Project HoloLens, I believe, HoloLens? Or Microsoft HoloLens. HoloLens is the name that, I've seen everywhere. Mm-hmm. Very cool. It's the future. Thanks for watching episode 233 of Ping. That's 233 episodes in the can. Thanks so much for watching. Follow the conversation with us as usual at hashtag Ping Show. You can follow us individually at Mark DeFalco.
At RicksterCDN.
I've got a new Twitter image.
Huh?
I've got a new Twitter
image. You updated your, oh wow.
I did.
I have to go look now.
You can comment below as always, or reach us if you'd like one of these nine guys. Via snail mail.
Don't forget, that is The Ping Show, care of Channel 9, Building 20, 1 Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052. I'm getting better.
It's very good. Yeah. Very good. This happens when we do this regularly.
I know.
We get to practice.
This is the third in a row, by the way.
It is. I didn't want to jinx it.
Okay. Keep it going.
So, question of the week.
Since everyone's all a titter, all about holographic experiences and the HoloLens, the press people got a chance to experience four different types of scenarios, I guess.
Yes.
You would see.
Yes.
There's like, you know, I read online, and one of them was like, you know, wiring up electrical circuits for stuff. One was doing a Skype conversation.
It was a Skype conversation where someone drew in your existence to show you how to install.
Yeah, switch. How to do something.
We worked with the Jet Propulsion Laboratory to bring people to Mars.
Nice. That was incredible.
It's absolutely insane, the thought of being able to physically be in a space that no human can be.
That's just neat.
What kind of experiences do you think you'd like to see in a holographic world? Let us know. So you can tell us right below. You can talk to us on Twitter. All the ways. We sent us a postcard, but that
did
seems...
You do the Facebooks, too?
The Facebook is
Facebook.com/ThePingShow.
Yes, missed that one. Sorry.
Just got to make sure we get all of them.
You can let us know everywhere
how
you feel about that, how you feel about the show, what you want us to know in this holographic world, post-holographic world.
Yep.
Is that the way to say it?
That
now?
Works. That works. Post-holographic. It's PHW, like post-PC world.
No, let's
post-holographic
world. Let's wrap this show up.
You got it.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.